Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, another week of the program right here live each day at 11 a.m. on the Big X. You can often catch us in a replay at 3 o'clock, and we're streaming on BigXSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app as well. Podcast on SoundCloud, podcast on Apple Podcast. No reason not to catch up with the very latest each day in IU basketball and Southern Indiana sports. Glad to have you with us today. Since we spoke, IU has landed a commitment. It's first in the 2020 class. Trey Galloway of Culver Military, Culver Academy, commits to IU, a prospect that Archie Miller has been tracking for a number of years. And we'll see Trey Galloway. Obviously, we have a good idea what we're getting in him as a player, but we'll see what he's able to do as, quote, a recruiter now for this IU program. That's what he's made it clear since committing to IU. He wanted to be the first in the class because he wants to be the guy that goes out and tries to make the sell, not from a coach level or an assistant coach level, but from a player-to-player level about why you should come to Indiana and play. So good stuff from Trey Galloway, and we hope to get him on this show very soon. But he is Indiana's first commit in the 2020 class, obviously a nationally ranked player, someone that is regarded as a heady player, a good shooter. I know a lot of people that their one maybe look at Trey Galloway was in the state championship game against Silver Creek. I've heard multiple people say, you always talk about how good of a shooter he is. He didn't shoot very well in that game. You know, it was an off game for him. I don't have any explanation for it, but I wouldn't judge Trey Galloway and his commitment to Indiana based on one game in the state championship against a really good Silver Creek team that had a great defensive game plan against him, by the way. But nonetheless, Galloway to Indiana. Now we'll see who next. It's interesting because we just had Anthony Leal on Friday. We're talking with him about his final two between Indiana and Stanford, and I think a lot of people feel really good about Leal and his chances to become a Hoosier and stay really 5-10 minutes from his house, 5-10 minutes from his high school, and attend IU and not go all the way out to the West Coast despite some of the academic offerings and some of the attractions that Stanford may be for Leal and his family. But it looks like Indiana could be on its way to once again locking down some of the, if not the two key players in state in the senior class of high school basketball for this upcoming season. So, again, hats off to Archie Miller. I know there's been a lot of complaints. There's been a lot of concern. There are fans of Archie Miller as well. I don't think anybody's to the point where they want to wash their hands with him and think that this program doesn't have a chance to reach really good levels down the road with his leadership. But there are some concerns when you don't make the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you know, you don't want to be a fan base that doesn't consider that a major problem whenever that happens. First year, third year, fifth year, 10th year, it's a problem when Indiana, a program of that stature, a program where basketball is so important and they don't make the tournament. But one thing you've got to say about Archie Miller, he has absolutely done what he said he was intending to do with an inside-out recruiting method to attempt to lock down the borders of Indiana. I really can't think of a key prospect, somebody that has been highly ranked, that we've talked about for a long time, that has had that feel of someone you really need to keep in state for a number of reasons, that Archie Miller hasn't got outside of Keon Brooks. There have been some other guys that have committed to Purdue, and they're good players, and had Indiana recruited them for a number of years and then not landed them, you know, you might say, huh, that's interesting. But the players that Indiana has recruited since Archie Miller got here, since, you know, really their recruiting classes are the one you focus on as head coaches and assistant coaches with a program, Indiana's been successful. Keon Brooks is that one outlier where a lot of people thought he was coming to Indiana all the way down until the final week, the final couple days of that recruitment when ultimately he ended up at Kentucky. So I got to give Archie Miller a high A for sure on in-state recruiting, on locking down the borders, and on using momentum from landing a player like Romeo Langford to move that into the next class. And then Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin become recruiters for your program, and that leads into the next class. And that looks like exactly what's happening. If you look on social media, if you follow players and recruits on Twitter at all, it's amazing nowadays how much that players and even former players get involved in recruiting. Trace Jackson Davis is almost on a daily, if not weekly, basis, active in, you know, telling and asking Galloway and Leal to commit, and others as well. So very interesting to see this group of players that Indiana has, in-state players, a run of success on in-state. And will Indiana, with some of these commitments, depending on how many years they stay, and you got to believe that, you know, Galloway, a four-year player, you got to believe that Anthony Leal, somebody that's going to be around for a while, if and when we think he chooses Indiana. Trace Jackson Davis, obviously people could make thoughts that he could have a professional future before a four-year college career. But will Indiana build a solid roster and have success in the Big Ten Conference, in the NCAA tournament in future years with a big, big nucleus of players from Indiana? It's what everybody in the state has talked about for years. We got to keep, Indiana has got to get the top players on a very consistent basis to stay in-state and play at IU. And if Indiana does that, yeah, they can go out of state and get a kid here and there, but really there's no need to. There's so many great high-major players in Indiana. That's always been the story. That's always been the thought. And as Indiana's roster starts to stack up with these top one, two, three, four, top five, we'll say, in-state players over the last two, 3 years, will this equal success? It's going to be really interesting to follow this here over the next couple seasons as some of these guys Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin begin their college careers, like some of the guys from the 18 class, Rob Fennessy, Demezi Anderson, and others continue their college careers. A lot of in-state guys right now stacking up on the Indiana roster. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got a brief Hoosier headlines moment. We'll go through a couple headlines from over the weekend. Also, later in the program, segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll break down the Trey Galloway commitment. We'll talk some other recruiting stuff. We'll talk some IU football recruiting activity as well on this Monday program with Zach. And then later in the program, some local sports, Chad Gilbert of Charlestown High School. He's the athletic director there. Also an IHSA executive board member. He joins us, as always, for a segment on local sports coming up later in the show on Monday. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And let's look here. A couple things. Trey Galloway, obviously the big news. We've covered that. We're going to talk more about that later in the show, so no reason to mention that any further right now. One little note that I barely got on before the show concluded on Friday. Indiana has added another non-conference game that we found out about, and it was John Rothstein of CBS Sports that had the news. Indiana will play Troy at home during the 2019-2020 season, so we're a step closer to knowing really the full schedule. We know the Big Ten games, home and away, the double matchups, you know, the games that will take place at both schools. We know a lot of the big non-conference games. I think we know all of the big non-conference games, to be honest with you. It's some of these filler games, some of these money games, you might call them, that we don't know. And Troy, no date, no time, anything like that announced. But we do know that's going to be one of the home opponents in the non-conference for Indiana. So getting a lot closer to knowing what the schedule is going to look like for this Indiana team next season, are we? And I got to believe within the next 3 or 4 weeks at the most, We may find out the full official schedule from IU itself. So getting close as far as the schedule goes. But again, I think obviously we know the Big Ten don't know dates, but you know the matchups, if they're going to be home or away, or if they are home and away series matchups. We also know a lot of the big, exciting non-conference games, the Notre Dame game, the Florida State game, the Arkansas game, the UConn game, some of the more sexy matchups, we'll call it, as part of this 2019-2020 season for Indiana. So a handful of more announcements, mainly non-conference, early season type games that still need to come out, and then I think we'll find out the very full schedule coming up here very soon. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU recruiting with the addition of Trey Galloway. We'll talk some other recruiting topics. We will talk also about the success football has had here. They've had a number of commitments, including a handful over the weekend as well. And a shout out to Highlander Youth Recreation Little League. They are at the World Series in the Intermediate Division of Baseball, and they were successful, I believe, in their first game last night. They're playing out in Livermore, California. Again, they're playing not just teams from the country, but also from across the world that have gathered there for that Intermediate Division World Series in Little League Baseball. So we'll keep you updated on those guys this week as they begin play there, and that's obviously a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Little League does it first class. All the travel and everything is covered from by Little League. I mean, just a neat situation. So we'll see if Highlander Youth Recreation at the intermediate level can find not just success locally in the district and in the state, but also the region which they won to get to the World Series. We'll see if they can find it on really a world level in that division of Little League Baseball. So good luck to them this week as they complete in the Little League Intermediate Level World Series taking place out in California. We'll head to a commercial break. Zach Osterman is next, followed by Chad Gilbert later in the program. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he's with us Mondays on the program. Lots to get to today because Trey Galloway made it official Friday afternoon that he's going to be Indiana's first commit in the 2020 class and join Archie Miller as another big in-state recruit over the last number of recruiting classes since really Coach Miller has been in Bloomington to announce that he's going to stay in-state and be an Indiana Hoosier. Your thoughts on Trey Galloway as a player? I know we've discussed him a lot in recent weeks through his recruiting process and through some of the activities in July with AAU teams and playing in front of college coaches. But a big pickup and another in-state pickup for IU.
Yeah, we have talked about him, I think, and I like Trey Galloway. I think he's a guy that has a lot of projectable skills. He's very much, in my mind, one of those players that – I'm not sure if you can pinpoint any one thing he's elite at right now, but you can see a world where he becomes an elite player or at least a borderline elite player in a number of different areas. I think he's very athletic. I think he's got a body that's going to carry strength well, which is obviously always something you're trying to project at the college game, trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be able to carry weight and carry muscle without maybe it affecting their game. I think that his jump shot's still developing, but the athleticism and feel are there for a guy that can handle the ball, get to the basket, finish with both hands. He's actually got a really nice up and under move for a guy his age already around the rim. I just think that there's a lot to like about Trey Galloway. And the comparison that I think I made on Friday, and I've made it in a couple other cases too, is sort of what Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy looked like when they got to campus in Indiana. And I'm not suggesting, obviously, that, you know, the ceiling for Trey Galloway or the expectation is top five NBA draft pick, but more just the idea that you saw these two guys come to campus. They were both ranked, I think, around the same kind of that 120 to 130 range that we see Galloway at right now. And you just saw a ton of skills there that needed polish, but you thought, well, if they can polish that, the feel, the instincts, the athleticism, all the more intangible stuff is already on the table. And so it's just a question of just how much of his game Trey Galloway can polish. And if the answer is a lot, then I think Indiana's got a really, really good player.
Zach Ostrom and the Indianapolis Star with us. We're talking about Trey Galloway's commitment to Indiana on Friday. One of the most interesting things that I've read about Trey Galloway since his commitment, because I feel like we know a lot about him, have talked a lot about him leading up to his decision, and of course nobody knew that his decision was coming. We didn't know if it would go into the school year or happen before the start of the high school season or what. People thought Indiana had an opportunity to land him, but I'm not sure that anybody thought it would happen this soon in the summer. But with that said, he's really kind of taken to some interview opportunities. I think it was a video clip I watched from a South Bend television station where he said that one of the reasons he wanted to commit was because he'd like to become a recruiter now for Indiana and try to help land other players in his class, and from a player-to-player level, talk with these guys about what they could do at Indiana, what Indiana's building, what all could happen over the next few years there, which is interesting because so much nowadays goes on with social media, with travel basketball and all the things where players in multiple classes have the opportunity to see each other and get to know each other from not just different parts of the state, but really even from different parts of the country as well. But I find it interesting that that's one of his big reasons for going ahead, pulling the trigger, making the announcement that he wants to go to Indiana. We've seen a number of other recruits like Trace Jackson Davis, who's now in Bloomington as a freshman, really take to social media and try to actively recruit other players in his grade, like Keon Brooks. That did not work out. But Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, he's been active in communicating back and forth in a fun way with those guys, and it sounds like they text and communicate in other private ways as well. But interesting to see nowadays that players really heavily recruiting other players, even Romeo Langford, who's up in Boston retweeting things about IU's program and all scholarship offers when they go out. Just a whole nother level of the recruiting process that really has taken, I think, a bigger part here more recently than ever.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's been that way for a while. I think social media kind of maybe magnifies that or gives, you know, fans a little bit more of a look behind the curtain in that. But, you know, something Tom Allen said when he was talking about recruiting at Big Ten Media Day recently, you know, because obviously he's had a decent bit of success here on the recruiting trail lately, Allen in Indiana. And essentially what he was sort of saying was that what he tells recruits is, you know, when recruits will come to him and they'll say, oh, coach, you know, I just feel like I have such a great relationship with you, or I really love the campus, or whatever. You know, his message is always, well, go tell other recruits that, because it means so much more coming from you. It means so much more when it's you telling other kids. It's your parents telling their parents. Because when it comes to what a school can offer, you know, every family is going to get some form of recruiting pitch from everyone. They understand it. They expect it. It's just kind of part of what's baked in. It's not something that necessarily stand. I don't want to say it doesn't stand out, but I think that when, in the same way that when you walk onto a lot of a car dealership and a salesman walks up to you, you know, you brace yourself because you know what the salesman's there for. I think that families feel that way sometimes, and athletes and coaches can feel that way sometimes about schools, that when it's a recruiting visit, it's not that they think anything's disingenuous, but they know what the coach's ultimate goal is, which is to convince them to come to that school. When you're hearing it from your peers, when your parents are hearing it from other parents and that sort of thing, I think it just means more in a way, because it sort of vouches for things without feeling like you are in that recruiting mode so much. And so I think it's important for Indiana. It's certainly important for Indiana with a couple of guys that, I mean, you mentioned Anthony Leal. I'd also throw Christian Lander in there as well. Obviously, he's a year younger, but he's played AAU basketball with Leal and Galloway. It's important for Indiana with those guys specifically, and I think it's also just important for Indiana to have, you know, more guys energetic and sort of advocating for the program and its future, and not just thinking about next season, but thinking about, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star joining us, as always, on Monday. Let's talk about Anthony Leal for a moment as well. I mean, he announced his final two. Obviously, he's in the process of trying to make a decision. He was on the program Friday and said he was going to take as long as he needed. He wasn't quite sure about future visits and that sort of thing, but he definitely wants to think through this, talk to his family and other key people involved in the process before making a decision, which it sounds like could come soon. And it sounds like if he needs to take to the start of the high school season or even beyond that, he's willing to do it to make sure he comes up with the right place for him. But let's be realistic here for just a second. He's been AAU teammates for years with Trey Galloway. They have obviously a great friendship, a great bond. We talked with Anthony about that on Friday, just hours before Trey Galloway made an announcement that he would become a Hoosier. Also, Indiana's campus is literally 5 to 10 minutes from where he lives and from where he goes to school at Bloomington South. Stanford is on the complete opposite side of the country. It's not like it's Indiana nearby and Purdue reasonably nearby or Louisville reasonably to the south or another Big Ten school. It is two schools with opposite situations in the country. Realistically speaking, what type of chance do you give Leal to become a Hoosier, and talk about what it would be like for Archie Miller to not only land Romeo Langford, not only come back with Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin, but to land essentially the top two 2020 players in Indiana. It's not been, you know, it's not been all pretty. Everything hasn't went the way that fans hoped it would upon Archie's arrival. No NCAA tournament last year, but one thing you've got to give the guy credit for at this point in his time at Indiana is recruiting the state of Indiana. So far, with few exceptions, he and his staff have been spot on.
Yeah, I mean, I think to the first question first, I do think Leal's going to take his time. I don't know exactly what that'll mean. You know, I think, you know, going back to my conversations with Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal during the July evaluation weekend, you know, Galloway more or less laid out a time frame that sounded about like what wound up happening, which is he said he wanted to get to the end of AAU season and then evaluate his options. You know, you didn't know if that meant going all the way to, you know, August, or if that literally just meant sitting down as soon as you get done with AAU basketball and going from there. And it seems like that's more of what he did. You know, the one thing that Leal's been consistent about every time I've talked to him is that he would like to have this all wrapped up before the end of, or before the beginning of his high school season. So that has, you know, going back, I think my first conversations with him in any meaningful way were around the time he picked up his IU offer. And, you know, even as far back as then, it was pretty clear that if possible, he wanted to be wrapped up before the start of his high school season. Now that he's down to just two schools, you would imagine that that's probably even more likely, simply because, you know, at some level, there's just not a lot left to kind of judge in his recruitment. It's about when he feels comfortable, but it's not like he's got to take, you know, 4 or 5 visits and kind of figure out a ways to schedule all that different stuff. So you would imagine that from Leal's perspective, he's probably in a situation where he could be, you know, thinking a little bit more tangibly about kind of the last stage of his recruitment here pretty soon. My impression of Anthony Leal has always been, though, he's a thoughtful kid. My understanding has always been he's a very good student, and I think that's probably part of where Stanford comes into play because, listen, there are good degrees at schools like Indiana. There's no question about that. But Stanford is Stanford. You know, there really probably isn't, at least in Division I basketball, a program that has more to offer academically in the country than Stanford does. And so you have to respect what that might mean for Anthony Leal as well. But I think from Indiana's perspective, you do have to feel good for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. The proximity to campus, the fact that Leal himself will tell you he grew up going IU games, he grew up watching IU, you know, it's always, IU's always been important to his family growing up in Bloomington. I think the Galloway thing is going to be very important I mean, you know, when I talked to both of them and Hoover, you know, basically what I said was, you know, I sort of couched all my questions by saying, listen, I'm not trying to suggest this is a package deal. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But both of them said, well, you know, it could be. We don't know, but we're good friends, and we've played together through all of AAU, and we've absolutely talked about the idea of our careers continuing on together beyond, you know, where we are right now. They didn't hide that. They didn't try to sort of, you know, dance around that in any way, I guess. And I think that says something. So from Indiana's perspective, I think you have to feel good about where you are with Anthony Leal, and then it's just a question of you know, when he's comfortable making his decision. And if you can pull him in, you're right. You know, then you really start to be able to tell a story about, and I this is what I wrote after Trey Galloway's commitment Friday, about how Archie Miller's message is resonating beyond just the new coach bump. You know, every new coach at Indiana is going to get a little bit of momentum simply for being a fresh face, a fresh message, fresh ideas, all that stuff. Certainly in a state that really values basketball and is going to therefore value its you know, big time Division I properties, if you want to call it that, the Purdue's, the Indiana's, the Butler's, and so forth. That's always going to be the case, at least to some degree. But that a lot of this has now survived, you know, Archie Miller going through a couple of rocky seasons, rebuilding seasons, and still the top prospects in the state are so strongly considering Indiana. It speaks to a level of durability of Archie Miller's message, whatever it is, and his organization and his overall recruiting approach that you think should be able to last.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, joining us, talking a lot of recruiting with Trey Galloway now in the fold for the class of 2020, and Anthony Leal recently closing his list down to just two schools, Indiana and Stanford. Let's move away from recruiting from now and talk for a moment about the schedule. No earth-shattering scheduling news on Friday, but we did learn from John Rothstein that IU is going to host Troy in a non-conference game for the 2019-2020 season. And as we've discussed a couple times, no date or anything associated with that game that I've seen yet, but with that matchup, we are getting much closer to a full schedule for this Indiana team. We obviously know the conference matchups, home, away, and then the home and away games. We don't know dates on those either. We know the big games. I call them the sexy games in the non-conference schedule as well. And some of those, you know, all the details because they get that stuff out early. And then we know a bulk, I think, of some of the more reasonable and money games, as they're called in Division I basketball, as part of the non-conference schedule as well. How many more games do you think they're out there for us to learn about? And we've got to be close, I would think, within weeks to a month of finding out an official schedule from the school with even more details.
Yeah, the Indiana, to kind of work backward, Indiana typically waits for the Big Ten to release its schedule. So right now we have the Big Ten pairings, but what we don't have is dates and times for a lot of that stuff. And Indiana, basically, as long as I've covered IU basketball, Indiana has always sort of waited for the Big Ten's, just waited for the Big Ten's queue. Let the Big Ten release its schedule first, and then Indiana kind of moves on from there, and Indiana has its schedule ready to go not long after that, once it has its dates and its times and that sort of thing. I think you're right that we probably know all the marquee games, all the, as you call them, sexy games, you know, in terms of Arkansas, Florida State, you know, UConn and Madison Square Garden, the Crossroads Classic. I think there's, what, three others at this point that are out there, Portland State, Princeton, and Troy. I think that's right. I think those are the other three that we kind of know about at this point. And it's not clear whether or not, you know, last season when Indiana played at Arkansas, that was part of one of those sort of school-organized tournaments where Indiana and Arkansas each played three, you know, mid-low major teams at home and then played one another. I don't know if that Arkansas game in Bloomington is going to be part of a similar setup or if Indiana is just going to schedule the rest of its games kind of independent of that. But one way or the other, you just do the math. Indiana has 11 non-conference spots, and that's, I think, seven taken up now between the money games we talked about, Portland State, Princeton, and Troy. So you probably look for maximum four more. You know, in his first season, Archie Miller only played 30 games in the regular season. So it's it's probably not something where he feels like he absolutely has to have a full schedule. But I would say maximum there's probably four more of those games floating around out there somewhere. And it's just a question of, you know, do they get out at any point? Or, you know, is it possible that you just wind up in a situation where they just come out when the Indiana schedule comes out, and that's just kind of how Indiana's comfortable letting that get released?
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Football for just a moment. A number of commitments here lately for this IU football program, and I tell you what, recruiting has also been probably the strong area of Tom Allen so far in his tenure as IU's football coach, and this season obviously will tell more of that story actually on the field. But the recruiting momentum, I think you can't ignore it. There is a lot of activity there, a lot of commitments there, and that continued last week and into the weekend as well.
Yeah, again, I think commitments that you'd look at and just say they're guys that Indiana's probably in a lot of cases been able to look at in camp situations and things like that. Maybe not all of them, but guys that allow you to just stock your numbers with depth. And I think, you know, we saw Kevin Wilson take this approach. I think Tom Allen has taken it too, even with the new recruiting calendar, to basically say, let's try to be really, really committed to the evaluation process so that we can get out of the summer without having too many needs left in our class. You know, we can have addressed a lot of the needs that we feel we have in terms of, you know, I mean, because you literally, football coaches will say, we think we need two linebackers, two running backs, four offensive linemen, you know, that kind of, I mean, that's often the way that football coaches think when they, in terms of quantity, when they build out a recruiting class. And the summer for Indiana has so often been about basically finding that quantity and really being very invested in the summer months, the spring and summer months, in evaluating guys and going hard after guys that will give you class depth and will really put you in a strong situation from a depth perspective, because as much as everybody gets excited about the guys at the top end of any class, it's the depth of the class overall that's going to ensure your long-term program health when those guys become juniors and redshirt juniors and seniors. And so I think from Indiana's perspective, you probably feel good about where you are depth-wise in this class. Indiana doesn't have a ton of seniors coming off the books this year, so I don't think it's going to be a huge class. I don't think it's going to fly all the way up to, you know, 25 or whatever. It could. We'll see. But I think what you're seeing now are the guys where Indiana really feels like they were able to evaluate those guys in an in-depth way, probably a lot of them one-on-one, and say, you fit us, and we just want you to come in and give this class a lot of really good depth. And then as you get into the fall and then certainly into the winter months, around the first signing window in December, first signing day in December, you look at some of these guys and you say, you know, we don't have to take a scattergun approach to recruiting. We can really target just a small number of guys at the high end of our talent pool to round out the class. That's the way Kevin Wilson always did it. Nate Sudfeld was a January commit. Tevin Coleman was a January commit. You know, from Indiana's perspective, Samson James obviously signed last season. He was flipped in October. Cam Williams is signed out of Andrea, a four-star linebacker, was I think he only picked Indiana on signing day last season. So you're able to really focus your resources on a small number of players when you fill out your class to start with a lot of numbers that give you just really good depth in the spring and summer months.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the program, and obviously a lot to talk about today with the commitment of Trey Galloway to Indiana on Friday afternoon. Zach, as always, thank you for the chat, and look forward to it as we begin the show each week with you. We'll do it next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. You can read more about Zach's coverage of Indiana, indystar.com/sports. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSAA executive board member. We're going to talk some more about Trey Galloway as well and his commitment to Indiana, and also about Trey's father, Mark, who has been on this program before, who is the coach at Culver Academies and has been a longtime high school basketball coach in the state of Indiana as well. We'll do that and more with Chad coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment with Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown High School Athletic Director, also an IHSAA Executive Board member, and he joins this show on Mondays to talk local sports and things here in Southern Indiana. Chad, we got to start with Trey Galloway. Big commitment. We've talked about it a lot today. Archie Miller just continuing to follow through on that inside-out promise to recruit the state of Indiana first and then locate some prospects from outside of the state boundaries to kind of flush things up and get things ready for Big Ten play and to make this program at Indiana the success that everybody in the state wants to see it reach. And so far, one thing for sure that he has been able to accomplish is success within the state's borders. And Trey Galloway, for many reasons, is a big pickup for this program.
No question about it, Matt. Anytime Indiana can get in-state kids, it makes it that much more enjoyable for fans to watch because you feel like you're watching these kids grow up. You feel like you have a personal connection to these kids, and when you watch them play and excel, you can really get behind those kids, and that really, I think, creates a lot of interest in the program, a lot of excitement. And Indiana produces some players, Matt. So you know when you have Indiana kids, you have some of the upper echelon players, not just in the state, but in the whole country.
Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, always with me Mondays here on the program. Trey has had a really good high school career. I mentioned this earlier, and Chad, I think you were actually at the game, but a couple people have said, man, you're pretty high on Trey Galloway as a player. We saw him against Silver Creek. We watched the game on TV, or we went up to follow Silver Creek. You know, he wasn't that great that night. Well, it wasn't one of his better performances, but consistently, if you look at what he's been able to do, I mean, just look at the other schools that recruited him as well. It wasn't just Indiana that thought he could play in the Big Ten Conference, but he has had a remarkable high school career to this point and obviously gearing up for another big season. It would not surprise me, Chad, when we get all the way to late March, if it's Culver Academies with Trey Galloway and Silver Creek with Cooper Jacoby and Trey Kaufman and others battling again for a state championship.
Well, one thing is anybody that asks you that, ask them if they watched Trey Galloway as a sophomore win the state championship because he put on a show as a sophomore. Trey is someone, and Silver Creek probably had a little bit to do with that. They have a Big Ten player in their own rights and another Division I player, and they had a great crop of supporting players who were being able to play at another level of basketball that he had to go against. So Silver Creek was no slouch. That made it tough for him. But Trey Galloway is an outstanding player, and if you look at him, he's got a lot of the intangibles. His arms are long. He's an outstanding athlete. He jumps extremely well. He shoots the ball well. He's someone that's a hard-nosed competitor. As far as those guys playing Silver Creek, I believe, Matt, that Culver has moved up to 4A this year with two state championship appearances, that they'll move up to the 4A for this season. I could be wrong on that one.
I did not think about that.
But they're going to be a force in 4A as well. Anytime you have a guy, and you think about, I think Michigan State was one of the first ones to offer Trey, he can go, and he will make a great impact, and he will be someone that plays for pride. You know, when you think about Indiana kids, everybody grows up watching IU wanting to play for him. You talked about Anthony Lill at Bloomington South, guys that have grown up wanting to play for Indiana one day. That means a little bit more than a guy from New York or Florida or California or Texas, wherever they're from. Those guys, I'm sure, they want to play for a big-time program, but it's a little different when you want to play for Indiana or you want to play for Purdue or you want to play from Kentucky or Louisville when you're from those areas. There's a little bit of pride that goes involved that's involved with that that makes you push a little bit harder.
One thing about Trey, and he actually came out and said this. We talked about this earlier. He wanted to be the first commit in this class so he can kind of take on the role as a recruiter for other players like his travel ball teammate Anthony Leal and other in-state guys. And, heck, with the way the world is now, these players all know each other. It's not just guys locally or regionally. It's, you know, you play with and against guys from across the country and all this stuff. So interesting that that was a reason for him to go ahead and announce his decision and make his intent to play at IU public. But definitely he will have the type of player and the type of kid that he is, type of communicator that he is. He's the kind of guy that Archie Miller will be able to get some real assists from in helping with Anthony Leal and others as well, that's going to really reach out to them and try to sell this program and the message from Archie Miller for the future of IU basketball.
Well, guys like that and Trace Davis Jackson, those types of guys, those guys are alpha dogs. They're your leaders. They're the kind of guys that other guys follow to. You know, they want to be around. You know, those are the type of guys. I kind of felt like I had that mode when I was growing up. You know, I've been around a lot of accomplishments. I've been around a lot of success. My biggest accomplishment is I've been in 14 weddings and 5 best men. And, you know, you think about that stuff, that means that you've developed some friendships and some relationship with your teammates over the years that's not going to be broken. And I would guess those two guys who are out there recruiting these guys, they're relationship guys too. They're wanting to play with guys that they like, guys that can win, and guys that they enjoy being around. Because when you're on this grind, Matt, it's not all fun and games. You're going into some battles. You're going into the trenches a couple times. You want to have your best friends in those trenches with you to support each other and help you get through. And I think, you know, when you have guys out there talking about the great things that you not can accomplish but will accomplish, I think that says a lot about you as a person and a lot about that program.
Chad, let's talk a little bit about Mark Galloway. He is the father of Trey. He, back in his time, was a great player. He was the coach at Carmel for a while and other spots, I think, also, but now at Culver Academies where he's really had some success. And obviously Culver, not your traditional school. They get kids from across the world with all the different programs and different offerings that they have. But before we talk about him, and you're more in the age bracket to remember him as a player and talk about some things from that perspective, and him as a coach as well. I don't know that a lot of fans know this, but Coach Galloway at one time, I don't remember who it was that ultimately Floyd Central hired as the coach, but he was interested and kind of pursued a little bit for the Floyd Central job. This would have been back when Trey was in maybe early to mid middle school grades. So with a couple other changes of fate, Mark Galloway and Trey Galloway could be joining us here in Southern Indiana.
I think Mark was involved in that in the Lieberman era.
Yeah.
That was whenever Mark was involved in it. But Mark, you know, we'll go down memory lane a little bit here. First time I ran across Mark, Mark's from Plainfield, played AAU against each other. It was one of those teams that we just battled just every weekend. It seemed like we'd run across those guys, whether it be in the first round, the semifinals, the finals, whatever else. And he could flat shoot it. I mean, just a pure shooter. That one of those guys that when it comes off his hand, you wonder how it missed instead of how it went in, because he just shot the ball textbook every time. He went on to have a great career at Bethel, where he was a Division II NAIA All-American. He hit the shot to send Bethel into overtime where they won their national championship in 1995. So he's been a winner his whole life. And, you know, what, as far as coaching goes, his resume speaks for itself. The guy can flat coach. And coaching is so demanding. What you respect most out of it is he's had time to run his teams, run his program, and then give time to his son to make him a better player. Because his son, you know, we talked about some of the intangible things that he has, where his long arms, his big hands, his ability to jump. But his ability to shoot the ball, handle the ball, and know how to play, that comes from one person, your dad. And he's given you an opportunity to do that as not only his dad, but as his coach. And I can guarantee he spent countless hours in the gym, in the driveway, on the circuit, developing him into the player that he is today. And a lot of props to that, because that's a whole lot easier said than done. There's a lot of demands involved in that. There's a lot of fighting. I'm sure they've had some fights in the driveway. I'm sure they've coached it up hard. But the one thing that I guarantee, those guys love each other more than you know, you can imagine based on this bond of basketball and Mark caring about Trey and putting him in a position to be successful. You know, there's a lot of sacrifices in there with his mom, his family involved in it, that it takes a lot to be at this caliber of player that he is.
Chad Gilbert joining us, Chad, with us on Mondays, talking about Trey Galloway's commitment as well. Interesting stuff. IU has really cleaned up in the state of Indiana. One, I think if you had to bet on it, would think that Anthony Leal will likely become a Hoosier, but who knows? Maybe Stanford is able to use the academic side to steal him away from Indiana. Although, again, I just don't see that, especially now that Trey Galloway is officially in the fold. But it's going to be interesting, Chad, because if you look at Indiana's roster, especially next year when Galloway and potentially Leal and who knows who else enters the program, there are going to be a boatload. There already are a good number, but there are going to be a boatload of players from in-state. And the thing from IU fans and supporters has always been, if we can load up with Indiana guys and fill in a couple holes from guys out of the state, we'll do just fine in the Big Ten Conference and be where we want to be. And it's going to get to that point, I think, very soon.
Oh, Matt, you think about this class of 2020. The class of 2021 is absolutely loaded. And there are going to be some players out there that if IU can sink their teeth and sink their claws in these guys and get them, you know, their new assistant coach is going to be an important hire, someone who can get these guys that, you know, can be on their team. That's going to be outstanding, not just for the IU, but for the fans and for those players as well. And, you know, one Trey that we've forgotten about is Trey Coleman, who I believe is on Leal and Galloway's AU team. Is that correct?
Right. You're right, yep.
And, you know, someone who's – you know, you're playing with guys like, hey, Matt, you're playing against some dudes. You know, these guys are legit guys. It's not going down to the field house or the YMCA and just playing against some guys. You're playing against some big-time dudes that can go. And you think about how that's going to affect Trey Coleman, the confidence he's going to have by playing with those guys, and how good he has to be able to be on that team. That says just a lot about the type of kids these guys are and about the types of players they are. You know, there's some big-time commitments, big-time players in Indiana, and it looks like IU is moving up the ladder to get these guys.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSA executive board member, with us on Mondays to talk local sports and a lot of basketball as well. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll do it, as you know, next Monday.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Appreciate it. Chad Gilbert always with us Mondays. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Thank you for being with us. Don't forget, we're back with you on Tuesday. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, and Mike Pegram of Pigs.com with us tomorrow. And at some point this week, we're going to get Trey Galloway on the program as well. I just talked with his father over the weekend. We're trying to work that out now as well. We'll wrap things up and be back with you tomorrow at 11. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.